Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your love and your mercy and your grace and how we can simply call on you and have you fill us, Lord. Take away all the distractions. Give us a clear head, ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to receive your word. And pray this in your Son's name, our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The title to today's message is The Second Greatest Story Ever Told. The Second Greatest Story Ever Told. What might that be? Have you ever shared the good news with anyone? As I'm reading through Hebrews, I'm in a section of Hebrews where the writer of Hebrews is exhorting some of these new believers, or they're not so new, but they should be teaching by now, he says. And they're still on milk. They're still in a very elementary stage, not even understanding the foundations that the writer of Hebrews talks about. And as believers, we ought to be to a place where we can share the gospel message. And it's interesting, there's not one way. I'm not here this morning to not only not tell you how that's to be done, but that's not even the message, because that's the greatest story ever told. When you're sharing the gospel and you're sharing about Jesus Christ and what he's done for mankind and for you and I, there is no better story. That's the greatest story. Wouldn't you agree? So how's it going with sharing the gospel? Are you comfortable with it? Do you look for opportunities? Do you pray about it? Do you see the open doors that he may give you day to day out in the marketplace? Maybe holiday time, certainly. Thanksgiving, Christmas is coming up. Always seem to have an opportunity. And it's interesting with leading someone to Christ, just because they say yes or no, you've still led them to Christ. That's the whole point. We're to share. And the Holy Spirit does the work. And we can be comfortable with that. Sometimes we get uncomfortable because we think, uh-oh, what if they say no? I failed. And that's not the case. God just calls us to share. And some of us might even say, uh-oh, what if they say yes? Now what do I do? What's next? We got to think that through sometimes and know. You know, what would be? What if they do? Can I lead him in a prayer? Do I need to get him a Bible? Get him to church? Invite him to church? Go pick him up that next Sunday? Or maybe it's a Wednesday night? In any case, that's all sharing the good news. And I really want to encourage you to, if you haven't already, just start opening your mouth. Just start sharing. You know the good news. I know you do. We're taught that month in and month out. But if you need a little help or just some thoughts on that, I would be happy to. I know Pastor Jim would be happy to. I know Marianne would be more than happy to discuss that with you on you know, what is it? What do I think about? What do I do? What if this? What if that? I think about a number of people who have shared the gospel or that I have shared the gospel with. And a lot of pastors will say the happiest, most joyful Christians they know are Christians who are sharing the gospel. Not just taking it in. Because we're taking it in when we read, when we have great teaching like we have from Pastor Jim and other expository pastors. We take it in. We take it in. The Holy Spirit's our teacher. When we're in the Word of God, we're taking that Word in and he's working on us and he's sharing with us. But if you're not letting it out, if you're not overflowing, what's been said is you're a constipated Christian. And you can see why a constipated Christian would not be the most joyful, happy Christian there is. But when you get it out and you share and you just let him do the work, it's a wonderful thing, knowing that that's what we're called to do. Not called to save, but just called to share. And I've seen a number of people whose lives have been changed. We're talking Christians that when they just started sharing the greatest story ever told, In 3 seconds? In 3 minutes? In 30 minutes? Whatever time you might have, if you're able to share and let the Spirit work right through you, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. What would be a 3-second gospel? What do you think, when you think about it in Scripture, what's probably the shortest? I think it's in John, where this believer said, I can't tell you. I don't know this much about this Jesus guy. All I know is that I was blind, but now I see. That's pretty short and simple. That's his testimony. He didn't even get it. He didn't even understand what all that happened. All I know is I can see now. This blind man was blind, and Jesus healed him, and he can see. Well, today I want to transition more into the second greatest story ever told. If that's the greatest story ever told, what might be the second greatest story ever told? How about your testimony? It includes Jesus. It better. Your testimony of how you were saved. Testimonies would include 3 simple parts, and we'll discuss it just a little bit. And I want to reiterate one more time, if I haven't already, that we talk about sharing the gospel, maybe needing to speak through that. Even your testimony. Have you ever thought it through? If somebody were to say, why are you a Christian? Or how did you come to Christ? What's your story? That's pretty simple. What is your story? And would you be able to share? I think this is so close to my heart because I have an old friend who many years ago, before I was a believer, he and I ran in the before Christ part of your testimony that's not so pretty, which is not a bad thing to share, though. That was he and I. Alcohol was involved and women was involved, and we weren't a very good example. Certainly, we weren't Christians at that time. And we both went our own way. And years later, Jim was a heavy drinker, an alcoholic. And at one point, he finally crashed and burned, if you will. And I got a phone call from him out of the blue. Hadn't talked to him in many years. And he called me, caught me off guard. And as we were talking and sharing, he told me he was in a rehab center in Anaheim and so on and so forth. And it dawned on me. It was like a bolt of lightning. Like God just said, hey, he wants to know about Jesus. That's why he's called you. He saw that in me somewhere before. But this was the day he wanted to hear about Jesus. And when that dawned on me, I remember scrambling around, finding my Bible, not knowing what to do, what to say, where to go. I just fumbled. And I can remember that phone call lasted, I don't know, 20 minutes. And Jim never got the gospel that day because I didn't know how to share it, what to say. I hadn't really thought it through. And he didn't get my testimony, which would have been simple if I just would have thought about it and had it thought through. And I certainly have spoken with Jim since that day many years ago, but I hung up that phone that day feeling like a failure. And it wasn't long after that I realized God knew what he was doing. He was telling me to share knowing I wasn't prepared. And there's a verse. If you want to look at 1 Peter 3:15, let's turn there. First Peter 3:15, Peter writes, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear. Another translation simply says, instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain. What do you think the easiest way to explain might be? Your testimony. Because we all have a story, and they're all different. Some are similar, but generally speaking, that testimony is somewhat different. You know, I think often I was helping a friend of mine yesterday. He's a handyman and he needed some help moving some washers and dryers. And as I watched him, and he's got tools and tools and tools, a tool belt, if you will. And I think about the different tools that he has in his truck and in his belt and what they're for. Different tools for different purposes. And I think as a Christian, often I think about what tool belt God has given us. And the Bible certainly is a tool in that tool belt. And knowing how to share the gospel is certainly a tool in that tool belt. You having your testimony ready and prepared to use at that time is a tool that he's given us to bring him glory, to draw others to him, which is what it's all about. And so it was interesting for me to flash back a little bit and think about Michael, my friend, and the tools he has and how he knows how to use them. Not only does he have a bunch of tools, but he knows how to use them. He's purchased them or they've been given to him, and he's a master with them because he's used them so often. I just want to encourage you to think about that. What tools has God given you? He's given us gifts, right? And the church is to help equip the brethren in the church for ministry. We look at the church's verse right here on our flyer here, right? Out of Ephesians. He's given us tools. He's given us gifts. He's given us a testimony. So I want to take a look at a few other testimonies in the Bible. Let's look what they are like biblically and how different they are. And how God uses them in so many different ways. Hopefully this will be an encouragement to you. You know, Romans 1:12, if you want to take a peek at that. Romans 1st chapter, verse 12. It says, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Again, another translation says that we would be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Often when we share our stories with one another, it's so encouraging. Have you heard other Christians' testimonies when they've shared, again, kind of three parts, who they were before Christ, when they were saved, that's the main piece. When you're thinking about writing out your testimony, and by the way, I've got a little pamphlet here. It's only about 17 pages long, and I would be happy to get you one. And it literally takes you through where you can write these things down. It helps you think through it. It was designed for high school students, and how wonderful of a tool this has been for those high school students. That early on, just doing what the high school pastor said to do, and now they have their testimony locked in. They've got it. They've thought it out. They know how to share it. Well, I'll be happy to give you one if you ask. Have one made for you. And it's interesting. Don't fall into the same group that some other close friends of mine did. I was teaching and sharing this pamphlet with a group of men, 50 or 60 men, and they knew who the author was and that it was written for the high school. It was really done for high school students. And as we passed these out, their comments were, that's wonderful. This will be great. I'll make sure my son or daughter get this or my grandchildren. And I thought, what about you? None of them hadn't shared it, really were not comfortable. And here, a lot of them were grandparents. Think about that. Been Christians for many, many, many years. and still not able to really share that. I like what our own pastor says. I talked with Pastor Jim maybe a year ago, just a little bit about testimonies. And I had mentioned to him, gosh, at our potlucks, wouldn't that be great if somebody could share? And I think he thought I meant like right then. Let's just pick someone, and we would never do that, put someone on the spot. But I said, you know, I said, no, I'll talk with them a week or a month in advance, but we'd get to know each other better. And he said, you know, Matthew, he said, if a Christian or so-called Christian can't share their testimony, I wonder if they're really a believer. Interesting thought. He didn't say you weren't, but if somebody can't actually pin down and share what God has done in their life, or when they accepted Christ, or was there any fruit after that, good point. Good point. And what we find, quite interesting enough, is a lot of people who start writing their testimony out, when they look at it biblically, a lot of people realize they're not Christians. Wow. Well, I was born a Christian. My family, I went to church since I was yay high, they say. I'm an American. And the other countries have other beliefs. But I was born here, and of course I'm a Christian. Of course I'm a Christian, they think. So they get through this and they go, wait a minute, wow, I never really have accepted Jesus. I never even knew that. I didn't understand that, they might say. Interesting point. Interesting point. Let's take a look, if you will, at... Paul has a number of testimonies. If you go through there and look at what he shared, boy, you can go through Acts and the different groups that he's talking to and so forth. But if you would turn to Galatians chapter 1, we'll take a look at what the Apostle Paul shares. I'm going to start in verse 11. Galatians 1:11. And Paul writes, "But I make it known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was it taught, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ." Now listen to this. "For you have heard about my former conduct in Jerusalem, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it." You see, there's a little piece right there, guys, of who he was before. And what's interesting about that is he tells you how bad he was. He doesn't stay there, notice. Too many people's testimonies, they spend 90% of the time on how bad they were and how wicked they were and what kind of life they lived. That's not what we want to do. Spend about 25% there. You see here, though, also how important Paul lets them know he was trying to destroy the church. He goes on to say in verse 14, "And I advanced in Jerusalem beyond many of my contemporaries of my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles." What a transformation. He starts out telling that he was looking to destroy the church and how he persecuted Christians, to how he's now preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. He says, "I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus." In verse 18, he says, "Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days, but I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother." And look at this in verse 20. "Now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed, before God, I do not lie." Interesting. So we see the persecutor, we see the saved man, the transformation, and we see the preacher. And he's happy to share. And who was he speaking to here? The brethren. Early on there, he says, brethren. We know he spoke to many kings. He spoke to different leaders, Jews. Has many, many, many different testimonies if you look through that. But that one there is beautiful because you can see the change in just a few verses of what's going on in his life. We know about the other apostles, don't we? All of them except John, who died of natural causes. All of them were killed for what? For their faith. They shared their belief in Christ. They shared their testimonies. And they suffered some pretty rough deaths. If any of you have read about that or know about that, we're talking about being sawed in half and not sideways, from top to bottom. And we know, just Peter, the church history tells us, crucified upside down. I think it was him that didn't feel worthy to be crucified the same as Christ, but literally upside down. So there's just now they didn't just kill him because they didn't like these guys, right? They were sharing. They were out there, we know, spreading the good news, sharing their testimonies, talking about the conversion of Christ and who he was. So we understand that. We can see that in the Gospels and the church histories of what's gone on, and certainly in the book of Acts. Let's take a look at one other one here today, if we may. Mark 5. Turn to Mark 5. Read about this so many weeks ago. Starting in verse 1, many of you know the story, but let's take a peek at this here. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, he being Jesus, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains. And the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, day and night, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran to worship him. He cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." For he said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Please send us to the swine, that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. By the way, I just want to stop there because something always comes to mind when I read that, especially after I looked in the back and saw spam. This was the first case of deviled ham, wasn't it? Right? You don't see deviled ham much anymore, but this was deviled ham. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled. And they told it in the city and the country. And they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. They then began to plead with him to depart from their region. They wanted Jesus out of there. And Jesus says, and when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. Can you see that? Wow, demon-possessed, unsaved man. Jesus has just performed another miracle. They've seen many, many, many demons cast out of him. And what if, man, wouldn't you want to be with Jesus? I don't want to leave this guy. I want to follow you. But what does Jesus tell him here? This is interesting. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, and here we go, he's going to go tell him, go share your testimony. Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has compassion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim in the Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him. And what's the last three words? And all marveled. Man, this guy, how long had he been saved? Not long. He just obeyed Jesus. Wanted to run with him, but Jesus had a different plan for him. And he shared with his friends all the things that the Lord had done. So in this case, it wasn't even unbelievers. He's sharing with his own friends, probably his own family. And they all marveled. You might be amazed how people might marvel at your testimony when you share what happened to you. If you have it in your heart and you're ready to share it and the Lord prompts you and you simply obey him. It's a beautiful thing. All marveled. We don't know. Wouldn't it be great or won't it be great one day in heaven if we not only will be meeting this gentleman here, because we don't, you know, Legion was certainly, sounds to me more like a demonic name because there were many, but to meet this man, or how about to meet the people that he shared the gospel with that maybe were saved and just find out what they thought. We're going to have a long time in heaven to be able to talk with people and hear their stories, if that's God's will. Wouldn't that be a beautiful thing? Why not share it now? Why not share it today? It's much more impactful today, much more powerful. You won't be leading anybody to Christ in heaven. Be fun to share, but won't have the impact or the reward for being obedient. So I have a short testimony to share with you. What is me telling you to share yours if I can't share mine? Now, I have a 3-second testimony. You probably already heard that. And I got a 3-minute testimony. And I got a 30-minute testimony. I probably have a 3-hour testimony. My wife would tell you that, you know, often I want to start off with the 30-minute one and 3 hours later. And this is beautiful because as I thought about this a little bit, just before I started this morning, Marianne let me know that Pastor Jim had given her permission that if I went too long to stand up and say, hey, 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 right? What else? Yeah, yeah, cut it off. That's what it is. Yeah. So I'm keeping my eyes on her a little bit as we continue. But, a testimony, again, can be, you got to think about it in different fashions. You know, who are you talking to? What do they really want to know, right? You're not forcing anything down their throat. But in a short, hopefully just 3 minutes here, just to give you an idea, when I share with people, I let them know, I start off by, I really want to get on their level. I don't want them to think that I'm preaching, that I'm up here and they're down here. So in this first section, remember these 3 sections I talked about, the who I was before Jesus, the conversion, where I was saved, and then what's happening in my life today? How is he blessing me? What tough times? That's not all peaches and cream, is it? We're learning in Peter. We're going to suffer. We're called to suffer as well. So it doesn't have to be this sparkly old, look at my great life, this is why you should come, because they're going to find out pretty soon they're going to be persecuted too. So be honest with them. Be honest with them. They will appreciate that as much as anything. And I tell people early on, I said, you know, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. The only thing I can remember about Christ at all when I was growing up was when you walk in the front door of the same house my mom lives in, there's a big piano that she inherited, and there was a big black King James Bible on on that piano. I walked by it every day many times, never knew what it was. I did bust it open a few times, and of course it was in the King James language. I couldn't read it well, and there were some great pictures until I got to the one of this guy in this den with this lion, and I'm like, just some odd stuff going on here. So I didn't look at that much. I put it right back on the piano. And so I grew up really not knowing, not being taught, not understanding. And in high school, I met a girlfriend. Funny how God will use other people, and sometimes it's boyfriends and girlfriends, who was going to a little Lutheran church in Huntington Beach, and they, of course, invited me to go. And I would go, started going every week because it pleased them. There was my motive. Sometimes I would go, I was hungover because I had just been out with the football team the night before, the high school football team, and I was just hoping I didn't throw up in that little pan that they kept passing by every week, right? I mean, this is the truth. I was only going to please them. And what a wonderful German family that they were, very, very traditional. He sang in the choir. Often I'd be over at this girl's house, and I could hear him practicing in the back room on his little organ, and she would always roll her eyes. She was so embarrassed when Dad was singing. But, man, they were committed. It was beautiful. And so I was going, and what happened to me? I can't tell you how long I had been going. I can't tell you what they were sharing, what they were preaching. I couldn't follow in a hymn book, by the way, because I didn't realize you had to jump down to the next verse. I just kept reading the ones that were on top. I was a mess, right? It wasn't good. Stained glass windows and robes and sometimes smoke and things being swung around. It wasn't a place that I was comfortable with at all as an unbeliever. But something happened somewhere where, and there was two pastors. Now remember, I'm 17, 18, and there was two pastors that would speak. One was old, and one was really old. That's all I remember, okay? And whatever that pastor would talk about, whatever he would share, had either happened to me that week or would happen to me that week. So, and we hear that before. We use often, when the word of God is being proclaimed, there is the gift of wisdom or knowledge or gift of the word. It just works on a person's. I'm sure you've heard other people saying, gosh, how did he know? Who told that pastor that I was dealing with that? Or that was my sin? Or did you tell him that? Well, with me, it was that same thing. First time it was a coincidence. I was like, oh, wow, that was weird. But then it happened again, and it happened again. I mean, week after week. And pretty soon you realize, wow, there's something here. That was God waking me up. That was God knocking on my little brain saying, hey, I am here. This is not a coincidence. And I continued. I remember talking with the pastor as we leave almost every time. Pastor Jim's out front here, right? Same thing with that church to go to greet everybody. I can remember I finally got the guts up enough to say, you know, pastor, I don't remember his name even. I said, you know, this is going on and that's going on. And I just remember him patting me on the back and, okay, well, you have a nice day and a good week. And okay. And nothing really, it was kind of interesting, probably with the Lutheran denomination, that they have some different beliefs on you know, whether if you're going to be saved, you're going to be saved. I'm not sure why he didn't pick up on that and say, hey, let's go have some coffee or a Coke or something like that. Years later, I understand it a little bit, but it was interesting. I from there, had a friend told me that there was a famous baseball player at this other church in Irvine. And I thought, there are athletes that are Christians? I mean, I didn't know. I was like, I need to go meet that guy. So the next week, I ran right down to that church in Irvine to go meet this famous pitcher. And it was a big church. I never found him, never met him. I did see his car in the parking lot one week. It said 300 wins. I knew that was his car. That was Don Sutton at the time. And so God moved me from one place, and I got baptized at that church. But it's interesting because I had one foot in the kingdom at that time and one foot in the world. No discipleship, not plugged in, not coming to a Wednesday night, not coming to a, you know, church was, you know, a couple times a month. Carnal Christian would be a real good heading. You look in 1 Corinthians and my name would be in there, But God was faithful, and he just kept working on me. I then had an opportunity to go to the desert, out to the Palm Springs area to work, get into the mortgage business. So he drew me out there. I kind of like that because so many of these biblical characters had to go to the desert, right, to get schooled. And he certainly schooled me out there. This was a place where I finally remember reading. I was in the Word of God. I got a Bible from an Amway seminar. Was that a big weekend seminar? And on Sunday, they did a church service. I was like, this is great. And they handed out Bibles. I didn't have my own personal Bible yet. And I can remember being back in Palm Springs years later, and I just was reading through it. And I didn't understand. No commentary. It was an odd translation again. And so I went to a mortgage seminar because I got into that mortgage business, and I met the man who was presenting that day. And we started talking about football. It was fall time, and we're talking about it. And we realized we were both Christians. And he realized that I was off track. I was saying this and saying that. And without me even knowing it, he ordered me, got my address because I was at his seminar. I started receiving commentary in the mail on every book of the Bible, walk through the Bible. And I started reading the commentary, and all of a sudden these light bulbs were coming on. It was like, wow, I needed a good teacher. God gave the gift of teaching to many, and a good teacher helped me understand it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't long after that I realized this is where it changed. So yeah, baptized years before. If you were to ask me what date did you become a Christian, I couldn't tell you. A lot of people do, but I don't know. I don't know if I was saved back here at this church in Irvine or maybe even before, because you wouldn't see any fruit. I would stick up for Jesus. I would talk to Jesus. I would stand up for him, tell my friends about him. But man, you look at my lifestyle, like, wait a second here. This is not lining up, right? So I was reading. I was in the Word of God, just in my bedroom alone, and it hit me. Reading through the book of Revelation, understanding what it says, and I realized I'm going to see God face to face. I will see him face to face. I believed it. I believed that. I said, who am I fooling? And I just fast-forwarded my life, and I said, wait a second, I don't want to end up here at the end of my life. And I went out there, I got out there for the money in the mortgage business for the whole wrong reasons. But I kept seeing these people in the mortgage business that were losing their families and losing their marriages because they wanted to be top producers and they were running companies. It was all about the money and their lifestyle, which was terrible. I didn't want that. And I just remember saying, wow, Lord, I believe it. I need to turn. I need to stop this. So it was when I repented is when my life changed for like a great change. When I just said, I got to stop this. I need to turn to him and follow him. And it didn't happen overnight. Unwound. It does for some. Boom. Repent, boom, saved, you're off and running. But over a period of a couple of months, I pushed everything out. Not long after that, I met my lovely wife. God, thank God he waited on that. And I hadn't met her earlier. We might not be together today. But perfect timing. And Elaine certainly knew about God and who Jesus was, but had some questions and a little confused on this and that, where the Trinity and how that fits in. So boom, we were going to church. I was so pleased. I said, you can't wait to meet this guy, meaning Jesus. You can't wait. This is going to be great. We had good teaching out in the desert. We'd go to, weekday services and weekend services and learn everything extra that we could. Not long after that, moved back to Orange County. She had had enough of the bugs and the heat and the wind and the people out there. I think us guys, we just get whatever. We're used to it, right? And Elaine was like, got to go. So boom, we get back here and he plants us here in Mission Viejo and just continue to grow. We grew and grew and grew and grew. And we've been through ups and downs. And we've had times where everything that we had earned by his grace financially was gone. I say everything. We didn't lose our house. Thank goodness. Almost did. We almost made the mistake of buying way overpriced. Remember those days when all of a sudden it dropped $200,000, $300,000, $400,000? You're like, we wouldn't be in the house we're in today. We're in the same house, thank God, if we had made that move. And he put a nix on that because we had a buyer for it and we had made an offer on another house and 6 months later, the market crashes, and we would have overpurchased by $300,000 or $400,000, and never, when we could not have kept that house. He's been so good to us. Jesus has watched out for us. And that verse in Philippians where he says, he'll, you know, all the things, all the choices we make and all the things that we do, he uses for good. I know that's not word for word, but even our bad decisions, he somehow will use them for good. And we've made a lot of bad decisions, and I got to put that on me. She's pretty sharp. She has a gift of discernment. She can see things, see people, understand them, and it's my knucklehead that sometimes says, ah, honey, it's okay. Like the guy who came to fix her house. We were redoing a bathroom and a kitchen and tore our bathroom down to studs. Nothing in there, literally just studs. And his father had cancer, and the family was in a tough spot. By the way, these were referred by really good neighbors. This gentleman was referred to us, so we felt pretty good about him. And tears it down to studs, needs a little extra money in advance. I'm happy to. Now, I know what all you're saying. You're like, no, bad idea. Don't give him $20,000 in advance. Honey, look at the man. He says he's a Christian. Dad's got cancer. There's issues. Let's write that check out. And 2 weeks later, he was gone. And bless my wife, she's still with me. I have made some really foolish decisions, but God is good. And all that's part of a testimony. Like I said, we have ups and downs, but we ought to be able to share who we were, where Jesus came and into our life, and when we accepted him, and understand that part very well. That's what people really want to hear. Like, wow, here's the transaction. Here's where I recognize that I was a sinner and that he died on the cross for me and forgave my sins. It's almost too good to be true, right? We don't have to do, there's nothing else. It's faith alone. So, in closing, I want to encourage you so much today, and I know it's been a little different message. You probably thought, man, I'm getting up to see Pastor Jim. We're going to get through Mark, last half of Mark 15, and it's going to be a good day. If I'd have known Matthew was going to speak, might have stayed home on this rainy day. So I think that timing was good too, wasn't it? We didn't have to announce it in advance. The phone call came this morning. So I just want to encourage you so much to be able to think this through. Take the time in this busy world and your busy schedule. And we have testimonies from our early life, middle life, even at the end of our life. We can always continue to share. Anybody that God opens their ears and eyes to and wants us to share. Just be willing to pray first, share the truth, and let the Holy Spirit do the work. The gospel is the greatest story ever told, and your testimony is the second greatest story ever told. So share it. Shall we pray? Oh, Heavenly Father, we are thankful and grateful that we have a testimony. We speak with unbelievers who sometimes just, they can't grasp and understand the goodness of you because they don't know you. And often, Lord, I realize that there's some wild testimonies out there like this gentleman that we read about today. Gentleman today, not so much in the story, Legion. And these are wild, crazy, true testimonies because it's in your word. But Lord, we have people here today that have a very simple testimony. And Lord, I think we need more of those people to share because there's so many other people out there that don't have a crazy testimony. It's very simple. I understood I was a sinner and understood what Christ did for me and believed, simply believed. And I pray that they would share with those, whether it's a simple, vanilla-like testimony or whether it's a crazy one, share the truth. And might you get the glory. Not that we would get the glory on how bad we were and how good we might be today, because we're not good without you. Nothing good dwells in us, Lord, but your Spirit. And I pray that many would draw close to you, pray about their testimony and what you would have them say, list it out, and then open their mouth and share, that many would come to know you, whether they're planting seeds, maybe they're watering, or maybe it's just that day where they say, that's what I want. I want that too. I want to know Jesus. And might they be able to lead them in the prayer or connect them with someone who can pray that prayer with them. And really in their heart, if they say, that's what I want, they're believing. They're believing right then and there. We know that no special prayer does it. It's by the power of your Spirit. So thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord. I want to lift up Pastor Jim once again. Just pray that you would heal him, touch him, give him peace and comfort today. Let him feel your love and your healing touch, Lord. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.